Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
Hi there. I'm Randa Abdel-Fattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted. The Federal Correctional Institution Dublin, or FCI Dublin, has faced allegations of sexual abuse for years. There are nearly 60 lawsuits against the women's prison, including a class action lawsuit alleging sexual assault and retaliation from guards and other prison officials.
I mean, I've personally witnessed a bunch of sexual assault. The officers used to cover for each other. Officers used to stand point, stand and keep lookout for other officers while they do whatever they do.
In recent weeks, it seemed like the feds were bent on cleaning up the place. The FBI raided the facility, and a third party was appointed to make sure the prison implemented reforms. Then suddenly, this week, the Bureau of Prisons ordered FCI Dublin to shut down.
We've talked to a number of lawyers, attorneys who represent women inside this prison who have been involved in some lawsuits surrounding the prison, saying they're pretty shocked to hear the news this morning. There are about 600 inmates at the all-female prison.
Today, the closure of FCI Dublin and what this could mean for the hundreds of women who are incarcerated there.
Support for KQED podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of The Bay and beyond, with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED podcasts too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
So the Bureau of Prisons announced this week that they are officially closing FCI Dublin.
Alex Hall is an enterprise and accountability reporter for KQED.
The Federal Bureau of Prisons is the government agency that oversees and operates all of the federal prisons in the United States. The agency's director, Colette Peters, issued a statement saying that, for the past several years, the Bureau of Prisons has really taken unprecedented steps and provided a tremendous amount of resources to address the culture at FCI Dublin. But despite those steps, the prison is not meeting expected standards.
I mean, was this a big surprise, this announcement, Alex?
This has been a long time coming. There's been waves of sexual abuse and misconduct allegations. There's numerous lawsuits alleging harassment, retaliation, sexual assault. The question is, why now? We're at a very specific and unprecedented moment in the timeline of FCI Dublin and all of the challenges that the facility has faced in recent years. It was only about a week ago that a federal judge appointed a special master to oversee a series of reforms at FCI Dublin. So the special master has full access to the prison's records. She has a team of experts hired to support her. She is tasked with overseeing a number of immediate changes at the prison. Wendy Still was appointed on April 5th. That's a week ago last Friday. From what I heard, she really hit the ground running. She was at the prison at least twice last week. And then on Monday, we heard actually the prison is shutting down. So I think a lot of people are asking the question of what was Bureau of Prisons leadership thinking?
What have the reactions been so far? What are you hearing, especially from inside the prison?
I spoke with Ashley Castillo. She's an inmate at FCI Dublin. She's been there for about 6 years. She says she found out Monday morning when she woke up because other inmates were saying, the prison is shutting down.
Around 8:30 in the morning, we just got woken up and it was by inmates saying, we're on the news, we're on the news. They're closing Dublin down. So we were like, what?
She told me that Monday when people were notified, they were told 100 women are going to leave the prison per day and that by Friday, everyone would be gone.
And then they called my name and they said, oh, Castillo, you know, you need to pack your stuff. You're one of the ones that's leaving today.
They were told, you know, what items they could bring with them, which items they couldn't bring with them. She said they were given a green bag to put their items in. Some women actually got on a bus, she said, and then some point they just turned around and came right back.
Like around 2:30-ish, the special master, she came in and said the judge has put a stop to all movement because we're not medically cleared to go. So, yeah, so they just made us pack our lives and then for nothing.
The situation sounds a little chaotic. I've spoken with attorneys, too, who have said, Monday, they were hearing from their clients that I'm going to be sent somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know when. BOP wouldn't disclose when the women were being transferred for security reasons. And then within a matter of hours, I was hearing from attorneys who said, actually, now we're being told that the transfers are on hold. So we know as much as you. We're just trying to keep up with what's going on. One attorney told me that she couldn't even get a hold of her clients.
We're talking about more than 650 people incarcerated, caught up in this chaos. What do we know, Alex, about what is going to happen to them? Or do we know where these women are going?
We don't. I mean, we heard word that women were being transferred Monday. But then the situation changed very quickly when there was a hearing that was held immediately within, you know, hours of this announcement being made. Basically, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers issued this order saying that BOP shall update casework for all of the women at FCI Dublin, and that this is required in part to ensure that they are transferred to the correct location. That includes whether the women should be released to another BOP facility, of which, you know, there are a limited number of low-security female federal women's prisons in this country. They're not all clustered on the West Coast, so it is possible that they could be transferred to facilities states away from their families.
Folks may want the facility overall to close, or people may see that as a positive thing. At the same time, it has some negative impacts on folks.
So I spoke with Kara Jansen, who is one of the attorneys who's representing women who filed this class action lawsuit back in August.
If your family is here and you're transferred, you know, across the country to another camp, that's going to be harder to see your family. It's going to be harder to talk to your kids on the phone if you're in a different time zone.
Her understanding is that people were transferred on Monday before the judge really caught wind that this was happening.
People who were supposed to get transferred or had release dates coming up are worried that in that transfer process, you know, things will go wrong. You know, and folks don't know what they're going to face or where they're even going to go. So there's a lot of fear and concern in the facility.
We're hearing a lot of different things right now. Some say nobody has been transferred yet. Some say some of the women were transferred on Monday and that, you know, the transfers were put on hold once the judge's order was issued. But it's just really hard to know for sure right now.
What about the staff of this prison, Alex? Will they be transferred somewhere else? Will they be fired? What's going on with them?
I mean, BOP says that staff will not lose their jobs. There are multiple employees who are on administrative leave right now. So the facility has really struggled with staffing in recent months. For those who are still working there, it's unclear what's going to happen to them, but apparently they will maintain employment with the agency. Whether or not they are transferred to another facility and they have to move or not, it's unclear.
And what about the actual building itself? Is it going to get torn down? What's going to happen with the facility?
That's another really big unknown. BOP, in their statement, said that the closure may be temporary, which was pretty ambiguous. It's unclear if that means that the prison is going to resume operations at some point in the future, or if the government is still working that out. We really don't know.
Well, I guess besides the shock that people are feeling and the chaos, how would you, I guess, describe the range of reactions and emotions you've seen to this news so far?
I think on the one hand, people, you know, can see the value in the decision and that this facility has had major issues for years.
My first reaction is thank God, honestly.
Jenna Davidson was formerly incarcerated at FCI Dublin for a couple of years. She was recently released and she's now living nearby with her family, but she's in really close contact with a lot of the women inside.
It does suck for some of the women that are in there because they have to be transferred, but at least they're not dealing with the same administration that has been like screwing them over. You know what I mean?
I think on the one hand, it's probably, you know, a relief. But on the other hand, you know, obviously these women are being abruptly uprooted and being sent to they don't know where. And so, you know, if you're being told you have to leave today or by the end of the week, get rid of all your stuff, it can just be really scary.
I'm stressed out a lot because I'm from California. I don't want to leave.
Ashley told me she is stressed out. Her family is in California. She said that she hasn't seen her son for years. Since he was 11 months old, she says she gave birth to him in prison and hasn't seen him since, you know, he was almost a year old. You know, now at this point, depending on, you know, where she's going, it's most likely going to be pretty far away.
My parents are here. They were going to just come in May for my birthday. Like, I want to see my family. I haven't seen them since COVID. Like, I just want to go home so bad.
You know, her attorney told me her family most likely is not going to be able to afford to fly to wherever she's going to be next. She doesn't know where she's going next. She said that, and her attorney said that sometimes when you are transferred in BOP custody, it takes quite a bit of time to come out on the other side. You don't know where you're going because BOP says, you know, that's a security breach. You don't want to tell the inmates exactly where they're going, so they don't know until they get there. She might go to some sort of detention facility before she actually reaches her final destination and might not be able to contact her attorney or her family for a couple of weeks, a week. So it's just really stressful. You know, she has no idea what's going to happen.
What about all of these lawsuits that we've talked about in the beginning? Is there a chance still for these victims to get justice now that the prison is closing?
These lawsuits are seeking monetary compensation for abuse or harassment that is alleged to have happened in the past. And this doesn't change that, right? But what it could impact is the access that women have to their attorneys. It might be harder for plaintiffs' lawyers to access their clients. Most of the women have West Coast attorneys. So if they're moved to another state, like Texas, for example, that kind of complicates things. One of the attorneys I talked to said that she was scheduling a meeting with a psychological expert to evaluate her client. Now she has to find a new one. You know, there are concerns that the women will be shipped away from their support systems and their families, and that they could face similar problems in other facilities. But, you know, in another sense, it might help the lawsuits in that it kind of shows the magnitude of the problems at FCI Dublin. When you have an acknowledgement directly from BOP that FCI Dublin cannot be reasonably operated any longer, that could impact the outcomes of these claims.
What happens from here? Like, what updates could unfold over the next couple of weeks, given there's so much we don't know yet?
I think that we're going to know within days what is happening with a lot of these women and where they're going. One looming question is, will there be more indictments? The Department of Justice's investigation into FCI Dublin is still ongoing. The FBI was just at the prison conducting a court-authorized search last month. So it's unclear whether or not there will be more criminal charges against officials at FCI Dublin. Also, the outcomes of the lawsuits, the class action, and the 58 other individual damages cases. I think that the special master's presence was expected to do a lot for transparency and help us all understand what was actually happening inside of the prison. She was already at the prison last week. We don't know exactly what she was doing, but she was expected to write reports about what she was finding out. And so I think that some of that information might still come out. It's unclear exactly what is going to happen with the special master or where the women end up, but a lot of that, I think, will become clear in the coming days and the coming weeks.
Well, Alex, thanks so much for breaking this all down for us. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
That was Alex Hall, enterprise and accountability reporter for KQED. This 35-minute conversation with Alex was cut down and edited by senior editor Alan Montecilio. Ellie Prickett Morgan is our intern. They scored this episode and added all the tape. Maria Eskinka is our producer. Extra production support from me. Music courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. The Bay is a production of listener-supported KQED in San Francisco. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
Hey. It's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts. To sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.